What up? What up? Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. Your host Chris Chin here. Welcome to the off season, Warriors. We've had enough time to sort of heal. It's been a couple weeks now. We're in the middle of the conference finals where, as we see OKC Thunder go up 2-0 and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander look pretty unstoppable, especially with the foul calls he's getting and the ones that we know Steph would never get. It's hard to say that you, even with a healthy Steph, that we would have thought that this Warriors team would be competitive against the Thunder. So all things considered, you never know. But I don't know if they would have gone through this OKC juggernaut. But that's a discussion for another year, and hopefully it's next year when we meet them in the finals, and we'll see then. But wanted to just preliminarily look at the offseason plan. I have a couple scenarios, one in particular that would just be like my ideal dream scenario to, in terms of, we were able to just get every player that we wanted at the, I guess, the prices that we want them for, and just really shape this team more so from a top seven, top eight roster construction. I'm not going to get too into the weeds of, you know, filling in the minimum salaries. Spoiler alert on that. If you want to talk minimum salary, I say go get D'Anthony Melton back. That seems to make a lot of sense, assuming that he wants to come back to the Warriors, which he seemed to really like it in San Francisco. We loved having him. And if he's healthy and seems to be on the mend, get him at a veteran's minimum. And I am more than happy to welcome him back as what would probably start as our eighth, ninth, 10th man, but could easily find himself in our starting lineup. That all being said, we're not really going to talk about those type of guys. I just want to address the more, you know, the first moves that are going to take place, namely what we do with Jonathan Kuminga and the sign and trade possibilities and just kind of targets for that. And more so like the first couple moves. And then from there, we can kind of fill in as the offseason goes. So just kind of starting with the needs, I think it's fairly obvious. I mean, you can kind of prioritize them differently, but sort of in a particular order, but they're kind of hybrid things. Obviously, number one, you need to get another two-way player. More so than a two-way player, it needs to be someone who can catch and shoot, play off ball. It needs to be somebody with positional size. So whether it's a guard, whether it's a stretch center, whether it's another wing, it needs to be someone that's got good size and athleticism for the position. Assuming you're giving out pretty much your only positive athlete in Jonathan Kuminga in a sign and trade to make a lot of this happen, you're going to just need a little bit of juice, a little bit of power, speed, just transition game, and just somebody who's preferably under 30 that can just give you a, if nothing else, size, rebounding, and then any extra explosiveness, all the better. No disrespect to Jimmy Butler, great athlete as well, but as a 30, soon to be 36 year old, you can see why we need to get just a little bit bigger. Secondly, we need a third scorer. So that could be the same guy. That could be this two-way shooter with size that we're talking about. It could also be in the form of like a microwave scorer. And I've got plenty of names. I'll give you a few depending kind of on contracts and stuff like that. But, you know, someone that's more like an offensive type player, might not necessarily be a two-way player that you're playing in every closing lineup, but someone that can just go get you a bucket. Someone that, you know, the defense is able to hold up enough, but, you know, I'm thinking someone similar to a Buddy Hield, but someone that can actually create their own shot, get to the hoop, just find easy buckets. Somebody like, not ideally the size and fit, but like kind of like a Lou Williams, right? Just someone who can go get you a 15 and on some nights, you know, be your leading scorer and carry you through nights in the regular season on games when Steph might not have it or Jimmy might not have it. And you just need someone that can go out and just be another playmaker, more importantly than anything else. And then also a scorer. And then lastly, I guess this one probably should just be the top of the list because it's the most mandatory of everything, is just a center. You need something that is bigger than, let's draw the line at 6'10". I would like to see a 6'11", 7-footer potentially. It kind of depends on the skill set. If you're prioritizing center as, hey, you want this center to be that two-way shooter with size that, you know, is your third best scorer, great. You know, you're, go chase a Miles Turner, a Jaren Jackson Jr., a Porzingis, one of these high contract guys. Realistically, I don't think that the Warriors are going to want to allocate upwards of 20 million, even 20, especially 25, $30 million like these guys are making towards a center position, because the Warriors' best lineup is always when Draymond's small ball center. And it would be nice to get him a reprieve from doing that for a lot of the season and a lot of the games. But that's always tended to be the Warriors' best option because of how switchable it is on defense. So unless you're really truly finding a gem at a good deal, I think that money is probably going to be spent better on a wing or even a guard than at that center position. But again, it just depends who's available. And basically that first domino that falls, and that being the Jonathan Kuminga sign in trade, you're just getting the best player you can that fits as many needs as you can. You can't be too selective in terms of what other teams are going to ask for, which teams are going to be interested in Jonathan Kuminga, and how many picks you're going to have to attach, and players and salaries. So you're just going to have to try to, just like when we got Jimmy Butler, he wasn't the perfect fit, but you're just trying to get the best player at the best deal that you can when you're kind of filling that third best, fourth best player with our best trade piece available. So those things being said, again, the needs are just a two-way player who can shoot, play off ball, has some size, preferably a little bit younger and explosive, a better third scoring option, a microwave scoring option. And again, these three things can be combined into one or two players, and then you need a center. And those would be my first immediate fits if we're assuming we're building around Steph, we're building around Jimmy and Draymond as that trio. Sure, let's assume that you're keeping Pajemski. It would take a lot to move him on that low salary, and unless you're getting a star player, I don't think it makes sense to put Pajemski in there. I'd rather just package all the picks and hang on to Pajemski, since from a salary matching standpoint, I think he's like 3.6 million, so he's not really valuable there. So by that logic, add a first round pick somewhere else down the road, and that's kind of placeholding what Pajemski's value in a trade would be anyways. And I think he's more valuable to us now in that role player, and hopefully potentially becomes like that fourth or fifth even scorer playmaker that you need. And I'd rather just hold him because he does fit this team pretty well, and we can debate that at a later time. But Steve Kerr and the organization love him, as do a lot of other NBA teams love Pajemski. So let's hang on to him. So you're building around those four. You have a lot of moves you can make. The biggest constraint being the amount of salary you can send out. Really, you're working with like a Moses Moody at 11 million cap hit, and then Buddy's like a 9, call it 10 cap hit. So combined, I think those two are about like right about like 20. So any move outside of a Kuminga move to fill salary is going to be from them. You also have some trade exceptions, which I also want to say totals about 20 million, that being from Kyle Anderson and Lindy Waters last year, where you can attach those to, like, for instance, a Kuminga sign in trade. Let's just get into this Kuminga sign in trade, since that's obviously the first thing that needs to happen. We'll talk about the money in the back end of it. So, there's two moves that I want to make. And there's two different methods to making both of them work, but it's pretty much the same concept. First, I want to get Cam Johnson, right? Cam Johnson is the piece that makes everything work here. He is a two-way player who can shoot the heck out of the ball. I mean, he's a 39, more like a 40% three-point shooter. He scored 18 points per game last season on a lot of volume. You can expect that to maybe end up being 16, 17, 18 points on a Warriors team where he's getting a little bit less volume, but assume he's going to be getting wide open threes, and assume that he might still be improving. I think he's only 28, 29 years old. He upped his scoring, I think, by like 4 or 5 points from the previous season, and he looks the part. Good defender, great size. He is 6'9", I want to say, with a big wingspan, a good athlete. And again, he's an emerging player, and I think he fits exactly what you want, because he can be a movement shooter, kind of like a jumbo-sized Klay Thompson, maybe even a little bit more complete. Not as good defensively as like a prime Klay as a point of attack defender, but I think Cam's going to give you a little bit more of kind of being able to guard pretty much any wing, maybe guard up some of the bigger power forwards. Can probably hold his own against centers. So it gives you a good switchable player on that wing spot and would fit in just perfectly next to Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph. And we'll call it Pajemski in that final five, in that closing five lineup. So Cam Johnson's my number one target. The other player, I'm just going to throw this out here, who similar money, Cam Johnson's only going to be making about like $24 million next year, but similar money, similar two-way ability to shoot, a very good point of attack defender. He's athletic. He's just about to turn 30. He is familiar with the Warriors, and you know the team loves him. Who is it? Bring back Wiggs. Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, I know a lot of you are like, oh, we've done that. I miss the guy. I love the guy, but we've kind of done that. And, you know, for recency bias, the Warriors were about a 500 team with Andrew Wiggins. But this is a whole different lineup with Jimmy Butler. Now you're asking Andrew Wiggins to just basically be a 3-and-D player who eventually late shot clock can go get you some buckets. Already know the fit with him, and really more so than Cam Johnson can guard those explosive, quick point guards, shooting guards. That's something the Warriors are missing, especially towards the end of that Minnesota series. So a Wiggins point of attack defender, and he's been a 39, 40% 3-point shooter the last 3 years, averaging about 17, 18 points, just like Cam Johnson. Not quite as positionally big as Cam, doesn't rebound as well as Cam. Doesn't give you as much rim protection as Cam, but for everything that we just talked about, and I think he's also going to be what, like $26 million, $27 million, something like that. You can make it work essentially in a Kuminga sign and trade deal for one of these when you're attaching either those trade exceptions or adding another players to make salaries work. I think ideally, as long as you're not taking back an additional, I think it's like $25 million off of this, then you're not going to be put over the first apron. And then in theory, you can make this trade work. And so I think Andrew Wiggins actually would be a good addition back to this team, and he would fit the pieces well. And there were times during this, whatever it was, 23-8 run that the Warriors went on since they got Jimmy Butler, that I found myself thinking, man, if they just had a better 3-and-D wing player than Moses Moody, Andrew Wiggins would just be perfect. This team would be a top three contender. And I still feel that way. Wiggins fits this team perfectly, especially now with what you need in terms of spacing. So I would be happy getting him back. I think I would still prefer Cam Johnson just because of the upwards ascent, because it's more exciting what you don't already know and what you haven't already seen. And he just gives you a little bit more positional size. And quite frankly, he's a little bit better just as a movement shooter than Wiggins. We know Wiggins is more of like a standstill spacing threat in the corner. You can run Cam Johnson off of kind of Klay Thompson type actions off the ball, running through, and then you could also put the ball on the floor and score a little bit as well. So I think Cam Johnson's my preference here. Dark horse, I'm gonna throw Derek White out there just because there's been rumors. I would obviously love Derek White. There's just no chance, especially at the money he's making. So I'll just put a pin in it there. But if Derek White somehow becomes a gettable guy at a reasonable price, let's go get him. Okay. So first piece to fall, I would call it a Cam Johnson trade, sign in trade for Kuminga to make the salaries work. You add your trade exceptions in. If you have to package a first round pick, try to protect it as best possible. There's a chance the Nets want even more than that. I would go as far as a first round pick, Kuminga, and a pick swap, depending on the year and kind of, again, depending on the protections. The second move that I want to see made is to go get that microwave score. And I think it makes the most sense to go get someone like a Kobe White, somebody that can shoot the heck out of the ball. He's been averaging 20 points per game last year, can create his own shot, good passer. Not the worst defender. He's a pretty good athlete. He's not as explosive as some of the other microwave scorers in the league, but at $12.8 million, you can swing this deal a couple different ways. One being that you just send out Moses Moody with an $11 million contract and you attach picks to it. I would guess that a Moses Moody in a first round pick would probably get that done, especially since Kobe White only has one more year on his contract before he would be due for a new salary. Warriors would have to figure that out when the time comes and being willing to pay that money and deal with the cap situation with that. But from a Bulls perspective, if they're not going to build around Kobe White, and they want to build around another ball dominant guy like Josh Giddey if they want to make this a sign-in trade and do like a Kuminga for Kobe White trade, which salary wise it could work because Kuminga, if say he gets $25 million, it going out salary counts as 12.5. It's 50% of that base year compensation. That would match Kobe White as well. You can argue I would almost rather get a pick also on top of that or add other pieces. But my point being that there's two different ways you can do this. It could either be Kuminga sign and trade for Cam Johnson, and then you do the Kobe White for Moody in a pick, or you could do Kuminga for Kobe White, and then you could do Cam Johnson for Moody. You'd have to throw in Buddy Hield there just to have enough trade, sorry, salary matching. Although I guess you could use the trade exceptions also. And then you're sending out picks. So ultimately, what I'm sending out to get a Cam Johnson and a Kobe White would probably be something like a Kuminga, a Moody, and a couple first round picks. I would do that in a heartbeat. Now you're looking at your top, what, six players. It's like Steph, it's Pajemski, it's Cam Johnson, it's Jimmy Butler, it's Draymond Green as your starting slash closing five. You have Kobe White as your sixth man who could fill a lot of usage role whenever Steph or Jimmy Butler or even Draymond are either out or lacking, or we just need more playmaking. There you go. There's Kobe White. Then you fill that with one more. Your seventh piece would just be trying to find a center. And it's going to depend where you're at with the cap. Warriors are $25 million below that first apron. If you do each of these trades that I just talked about, you're actually not taking on much additional salary, kind of depending how it's done. So if that's the case, and if you're able to hold on to Buddy Hield, then sure you have him, but then you also could go get a pretty good $14 million non-taxpayer mid-level exception center. If you want to get a couple guys, now you can talk about the what is it, $5 million mid-level exception taxpayer, and then also get another free agent. But you could potentially, if you can lure him, like a Brook Lopez. I know it's a name that's thrown out a lot. It's like a glorified Quinton Post, which was successful for the Warriors at time, except Brook Lopez was the runner-up for the Defensive Player of the Year a couple years ago, and he's slow-footed, but he gives you rim protection in a big way. He spaces the floor as a center, and he can rebound. The spacing is the big thing. If you want to fit these lineups, being able to close potentially with a center and Draymond at the four and take those minutes off him, you need someone who can shoot so that way Draymond and Jimmy can play together. And if that's the case, Brook Lopez is a good fit. Again, minus the fact that he's going to get attacked in pick and roll, and you're going to have to figure it out in rotation behind him. But that's why he's off your bench. That's why he's playing, 25 minutes, probably somewhere in like the second and third quarters, early fourth, and then you're closing with your versatile switching lineup with Dre at center. Other options are, there's a guy like a Mark Williams who from the Hornets that the Lakers were looking at for, I think he's like 5, 6 million. You'll have, if you do something with the Nets, Daron Sharp, who's just kind of a big center, young guy, 23 years old, but you just kind of get a toss-in center just for some size in one of these sign-in trade deals. So there's a few options. We talked about like a Porzingis, if that's like your big move, but at 30 million, I don't think that's the case. But essentially, I want to leave it there. I don't want to get too much further into it. I just want to say, hey, if you're able to swing these first couple moves and get yourself either Cam Johnson or an Andrew Wiggins, I'd be fine with Wiggins. The other option, if you can get, if you can't get Kobe White, is someone like a Malik Monk on Sacramento. They have enough ball dominant guards there with Zach LaVine there now, DeMar DeRozan also there as a wing. You get a Malik Monk. Well, he's not the shooter that Kobe White is. I think Monk shoots like 34%. We already know that Monk is a microwave scorer. He's dropped 30 on us in big time games. Plenty of times we've seen enough of it, but he can go get his own bucket. He's a very good passer. I think he was close to like 5.5, 6 assists per game last year. And just gives you exactly what you want in that dynamic microwave guy off the bench. A little bit more. I think he's $18, $19 million. So that would be a little trickier. And you probably lose Buddy Hield at that point, in addition to Moody, as opposed to that Kobe White deal. But ways to play around with it. Ultimately, you need to make sure that you have enough shooting because that's where the Warriors got screwed this year. And, you have to assume, hey, you lose one guy, and it can't be Steph, obviously. If you lose Steph, it's over. But anyone else that's missing time, you're missing another shooter. You still need to be able to have three, maybe four other shooters out there, and that's why it's so important to start with like a Cam Johnson, and then you go get that sixth man type score who can also shoot and ideally can catch and shoot off ball a little bit as well, so he can play with Steph. And I don't, it remains to be seen if like a Kobe White could exist with Steph, or he's just really just in the non-Steph minutes and then a little overlap. But can't be too greedy, right? You just need someone who can go get you some buckets, and if they can score and space the floor, then they'll find much more meaningful minutes. And then you fill that in on the back end with a D'Anthony Melton, like we talked about to start off this show, coming full circle, a guy who can shoot, a guy who can defend, and a guy who is a well-liked veteran. And now you're in business. That team can compete. You're looking at a Steph Curry, Pajemski, Cam Johnson, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green off the bench with a Kobe White, a Brook Lopez, a D'Anthony Melton, and then you still have a couple of your other young guys coming back from last year. And that is a team that can knock off a team like the Thunder or whoever you're facing out of the East. So that's my perfect plan for the offseason, whether it's all feasible or not. I think it could be, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll get into it more as the season offseason comes along. But until then, just enjoy the rest of these finals. Enjoy the speculation. Enjoy just kind of roster hypothesizing. And guys, if you have any other trade ideas, post them in the comments below. I'm open to hearing everything. You're going to hear a lot of different names, and the more posts and comments we have with different solutions. I know Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr are watching Stacking Dubs, so they're going to read the comments, and you might just plant that seed that leads to the next big move. All right. Well, hope you guys are having a good one. I will talk to you next time. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe, follow. And until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and Stacking Dubs.